join internet sweetheart Dale. No, that's not quite right. What's another? Join your master of ceremonies, Dale. No, that's too far. Ah, I got an idea. Join the guy who knows things about stuff. This is the generic live show with the guy who knows things about stuff, Dale Campbell.
Wow, that is a very, very long way to go for a bad, bad joke. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on the generic live show for a Sunday. How can we come back from that? Seriously, how can we come back to that? Thanks for joining us here on the generic live show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday on Twitch. And, man, I just, also, we haven't shouted this out for a while. Theme music, Cantina Rag by Jackson F. Smith. Listen to this. And his rendition of the Cantina Rag. No, that was me fading. That wasn't the song ending because the bumper was so long. That bumper, I'm gonna sprinkle those bumpers out throughout the next couple of weeks. I did spend some time today recording some new material for the generic live show because I was feeling it today. And I also had the day off. So, you know, that also helps. So there you go. We've got new, fresh content from the generic live show. And of course, we're going to be using the old ones and just, it's more variety. So there you go on that. It is 9:02 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. We started on time, but now we're starting late because of course we are. Thanks for joining us here on the generic live show for a Sunday. Well, 2016 was rough for more than one person or another, but one of the more hilarious moments of 2016, particularly if you are an Australian. Oh, by the way, side note, today's show, very Australian heavy because, yeah, my bias was hanging out when I was putting together the show this week, so there you go. Plus also, when I was putting the show together, there wasn't much international news, so we might sprinkle some international news throughout this show, like how Germany now has gay marriage, so there you go. Okay, now back to hilarious blunders, tech blunders of 2016. So 2016, the big thing was the census, which happens every 4 years in Australia. So every 4 years, traditionally, we used to have a big paper form get mailed out to everyone who was on the electoral roll, because of course, voting is compulsory, so you have to be on a roll to vote in Australia. So you have to, you know, had to, forms used to be mailed out as per that. So, but instead, what happened last year was the Australian Bureau of Statistics thought they would try and quote-unquote stay with the times. That was actually an official statement from the ABS when the census came in. And they said that we're going to be doing an electronic version of the census and then trying to phase out the paper version. I mean, I think I talked about all this on the show, you can go in the archives, but moral of the story is, it failed miserably, and they're like, oh, but if you still don't do it by this deadline, you'll get fined, and then we're like, fines won't happen. So that was previously on the Australian census. The current, and we now flash to current day, it is the 2nd of July, 2017, thanks for joining us, the Dale Campbell here with you, and we have the results. Ow. I jerked my arm out of place. Ow, that. So we've got the 2016 data. Apparently only 96% of people filled out the Australian census because of the waiver of fines. Normally the survey is at like 99. This is of eligible people that can do the census. Of course, some conditions make you ineligible to do the census. So you have to take that into consideration. So the basic snapshot of Australia. I wonder if I can put this up on the screen in any capacity. Probably not. I don't think I can. Should have thought of that earlier, Dale. Am I seriously gonna try and do this? No, don't try and do this. Because you're gonna describe it anyway. Yes, I'm literally having a conversation with myself now as we speak. So, as of 2016, there are 23,401,892 people living in Australia, according to the 2016 census. 50.7% were female, 49.3% were male. More females than males. Which happened last time the census was rolled around, which was in 2011. So it's every 5 years. I thought it was every 4 years. Anyway, household income, weekly average gross, this is before tax, 1,234 in 2011, it's now 1,438. Boy, I wish, first of all. Second of all, yeah, there are a lot of people working full-time jobs and more than one jobs. Top five countries of birth, 66.7, so two-thirds of people were born in Australia, 3.9% were born in England, 2.2% were born in New Zealand and China at a tie, and 1.9% of Australia's populations were born in India. The average age bracket of people, get this, is between 15 and 64, that is oddly specific, at 65.6%. The babies between the range of 0 to 14 is at 18.7, and over 65s at 15.7. There is an average of 2.6 people per household. And houses, get this, 34.5% are on a mortgage, 31% are owned outright, and there are 30.9% of renters. That shocks me for some bizarre reason that there are people that own their house outright, and that's at 31%. More people own their houses than renting. That is absolutely shocking. So Australia, your numbers are in. Beep 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 beep. This is me padding. Yeah, that'll work. Why not? Your numbers are in. So we're gonna turn that down. Your numbers are in, Australia. The results of our last national census reveal who we are, where we live, what we do, how we work, how we lead our lives. 24.4 million. There you go. There's about 1,037 extra Aussies each day since the 2011 census. Wow, that's a lot of people per day, mind you. Wow, jeepers. Put another way, we've grown since 2011 census roughly by the same amount as Adelaide, Canberra, and Hobart's total population combined in 2016. Jeepers. We are outside the top 50 countries by population. We are sixth in land area, giving us a little more than 300,000 square meters. Both China and India have more than 50 times our population, whereas we have 5 times population than New Zealand or Ireland. Our first state, New South Wales, remains to be the most populous, 7 million. But it's not the fastest growing. The Australian Capital Territory, the ACT, Victoria, or Western Australia grew by 11% between 2011 and 2016. Our eastern mainland is still where most Australians call home, with 8 out of 10 living in New South Wales, Victoria, Queensland, and the ACT. Plenty of us, in fact, 7 out of 10 to be specific, in fact, live in our capital cities. All of which I cannot name at this time because of time restraints. While the population of Australia has grown close to 18% in this time, the populations of our cities have grown at a lower percent. At 11%. And that old Sydney versus Melbourne thing, it's still Harbour City with 4.8, but at 4.4 is Melbourne. So more people live in Sydney than Melbourne. Australia's capital cities, including Darwin at 14%, 12% for Melbourne, and 12% for Perth. There you go. Hobart is the slowest growing city at 5.1%. Not surprising. Adelaide at 5.8%, excuse me, also not surprising. Brisbane at 10%, which, yeah. And Sydney at 10%, which, that's not surprising considering everyone lives there already. Alice Springs is our biggest, quote-unquote, biggest little town, which has a population of 24,753. Kalgoorlie, Australia's largest outback city, is home to 13.97 people. How do you define an outback city? And the iconic Birdsville has just a population of 115, now has 140. Okay. That growth is probably huge, but those numbers are still... There you go. Norfolk Island. Norfolk Island. Just thought I'd dodge that. Has joined the Australian Census, as it is now. It is an official territory. And, of course, online, means you don't have to send paper forms there. But we all know how that happens. Adding 1,748 people to our population, Norfolk Island... is an island off the coast of Queensland, I believe. Australia's once youth population is aging slowly. The median age is now 38. It was 23 in 1911, 28 in 1996, and 37 in 2011. So that's not... it's aging slowly. As the baby boomer generation matures, 1 in 6 are now over 65. Compared to 1 in 7 in 2011 and 1 in 25 in 1911, so that's fine. The greying Australian countries with 84,000 more people aged 85 or older. That's 2.1% of our resident population. Jeepers. Okay. Women are living older than men, not surprisingly, because women are awesome like that, I suppose. One of those people aged 65 or older, 54% were women, 46% were men. People with those aged 65 and older, 63% were women, and 37% were men. Now we take a look at first Australians. The Torres Strait or Islanders make up 18% of Australia's population, which The Torres Strait Island number has grown by 18%, representing 2.8% of Australia's population. That's better. More than 6 out of 10 reported being Torres Strait and or Torres Strait Islander. Origin in 2016, live in New South Wales and Queensland. They also make up one quarter at 26%. There, of the population of the Northern Territory, easily the highest proportion of any state and territory. Now, mainly I think it's because they are remote in nature. I'm just going to put that out there, and hopefully I don't get any hate mail. So where do these people come from? Well, Australians are born in close to 200 different countries. More than 300 languages are spoken, including Auslan, which is Australian Sign Language. More than 100 religions and 300 different ancestries. Okay, extremists, I'm going to email the show. I know what you're thinking. And just no. Please no. The census shows that Australia's highest population born overseas is 26%. More than the United States, 14% more than Canada. No, what? Oh, 20... I can't read number. Dale does math. Okay. Australia has a high proportion of overseas-born people at 26%, more than the United States, which is at 14%. I don't know why I'm doing this on the camera. I'm doing the brackets for some reason. Canada at 22% and New Zealand at 23%. What about the United Kingdom, you say? 13%, which makes Australia a highly diverse nation. Indeed. And that's not a surprise. Religion, I'll leave out of it because I want to analyze an article that goes into that next hour. So let's go to money, money, money. God, if we had some help on the show, I would make sure that I had the money clip up, but I don't. So there you go. Our collective faith is in decline. Aww. Our median personal incomes are rising. Hang on. How does that live in that? Anyway, our weekly median was 662 for people aged 15 years and over, and up, which is up from 557 in 2011. How does what you earn compare to other Australians? Our census report median income, the middle point of distribution of income values. Okay. Australian capital territory is the highest. Median income was 998 per week. Okay, that's where all the politicians live. No. No. It's not that no one can say that, but no. And Tasmania has the lowest at 5573. Okay. This data is interesting. Not surprising, and also fitting stereotypes. What can I do? The national picture runs down to Northern Territory at 871, Western Australia at 724, New South Wales at 664, Victoria at 664, Queensland at 660, and South Australia at 600. Wow, okay, no, that is... the Northern Territory having a high median average, that's good. 31%... of Australians own their house outright, 34 is on a mortgage, and 31 is being rented. So there you go. While separate houses still account for most homes in Australia, 72%, there is a large increase in other forms of dwelling, such as flats, apartments, semi-detached, row housing, or town housing, which I fit in that last category. Which is a quarter, which is more than a quarter, again, 26% of all Australian housing. All higher density residential development, which is not surprising. And the actual report from the ABS, which is why this is sounding reedy, is saying that our castles are being close together. There is a saying in Australia, which I don't know if I can say on the show. Might have to beep this out, honestly. I can do a clean version. Okay, so the clean version of this saying is, man, we live... God, I'm trying to think of the clean version. Man, the neighbours are so close, you can see into their backyard. That is one version. I will type the dirty version into the chat room. And I'm typing, and this is Good Radio Dale typing into the chat room. There you go. I just realized I spelled dirty wrong. I spelled duty. Okay, those listening live, I spelled the word duty. Duty! Duty! Your duty is to do what that saying is. So there you go. There's the dirty version. There you go. And use that saying, by the way, if we've got any international listeners and Alan Edgar Ho in the chat room, use that. Use that. You know you want to. Please do use that to your heart's content. So the small world that describes so much. We are coming up on our break here, but I want to mention this. Is Australia's raising its rainbow flag? It sure is. We counted more than 47,000 same-sex couples in 2016, up from 33,000. That's a 42% increase. And only 26,000 in 2006. That's an 81% increase. There is a video here.
The census numbers are in Australia.
You know what? We will play it. It's my show. I can run long on this.
Revealing who we are. What we do. How we work and how we live. In the past 5 years, we've grown by about 1.9 million people. to 23.4 million of us on census night. That's 1,037 more of us every day since the 2011 census, bringing our official population count to 24.4 million. But where do we live in this beautiful wide brown land of ours? 8 in 10 of us live in the eastern mainland states and territories. Though over 2 million of us live in a single-person household, there's more than 6 million families, the majority being couples with children. Although single dads are on the rise, Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander peoples now make up 2.8% of our total population. That's over 600,000 people. Our median age is 38, so we're living longer too. In fact, almost 470,000 of us are now aged 85 or over. Since 2011, the average income has jumped by over $100 per week. While young people leave their faith as they grow up, Australia remains a religious country, with 60% of the population reporting a religious belief. And when it comes to diversity, with about 200 countries of birth, over 300 languages, over 100 religions throughout our communities, and more than 26% of us born overseas, we're a nation of nations. Find out more about who we are at abs.gov.au.
Indeed. As we continue here on the Genetic Live Show, I feel like that was like very data focused, but I think it's important to finally release the results of that census, even though it was only at a 96%. 96 is still pretty good as a completion rate, but as a completion rate of 96, it's always good to share with the world what Australia has to offer. So there you go. Right now, Australia has to offer the Generic Lab Show. As we continue here on the Generic Lab Show, we'll run down, there are some new road rules. And we'll run them down what they are and see if they're any good or not. As we are wont to do on the Generic Lab Show. This is the Generic Lab Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on GLS for a Sunday. We're doing it for Geek.io. It's 9:22.
Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show.
Whoa! Hello! Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. And, wow, I don't know why... this song's got vocals in it, apparently. So there you go. That's exciting to look forward to. We're doing it on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Generic Live Show. Geek.io.net/live. All right. Woohoo! Alright, time to brush up on your road rules with 5 changes you need to know that are coming into force. These are in Victoria, so do keep that in mind. So, one thing that is... Dale, just stick to the script, will you, please? Just don't go off the rails. Okay, I'm having a lot of conversations with myself today. I just realised, hey, this is the whole show, talking to myself. Okay, motorists and cyclists... will confined with 5 new road rules, which come into force on Saturday. The new road rules starting July 1 include on-the-spot fines for cyclists checking mobile/cell phones, and a new giveaway rules for vehicles at intersections with bike crossing lights. Other rule changes will permit cyclists and coaches to use bus lanes, while a rule has prohibited people from driving in an empty bicycle carrier attached to the rear of the vehicle has been removed. Okay, so the rule now... Okay. Other rule changes will permit cyclists to... Okay, one rule that's being removed is cyclists carrying an empty carrier on for a cyclist will be removed. Okay, there you go. The new rules were in addition to a recently announced change that drivers must slow to 40 kilometres an hour for emergency service vehicles. And there is a thing here that hopefully loads. And it's going to play. Oh, we've got this coming in. This just in.
This is...
No, it's not. This is Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Dave Jones, RACV Road Traffic Manager, is coming up in this clip. Hopefully.
Road rules for cyclists are typically the same as those for drivers, with a couple of differences. On single-lane roads, cyclists can ride two abreast, but not alongside more than one other cyclist unless overtaking. However, when travelling two abreast, cyclists shouldn't be more than 1.5 metres apart.
Okay.
On multi-lane roads, cyclists can't ride any more than two abreast in a single marked lane, but can ride more than two abreast across multiple lanes.
Huh.
Cyclists are not allowed on urban freeways.
Yeah.
Riders are only allowed on footpaths if they are supervising a child under the age of 12, or if they have a medically verified disability that would prevent them from riding on the road.
Huh.
Cyclists are required to keep to the left on footpaths and give way to pedestrians. Riders must follow all traffic signs and signals, including red lights, stop signs, and give way signs. Cyclists should indicate to drivers when they intend to turn or change direction. Cyclists must not ride on the left side of a vehicle that's indicating it's going to turn left. If a car is indicating it will turn, the cyclist should ride behind the vehicle. Cyclists must obey the speed limit, and it's an offence to ride at a dangerous speed. Riders should look out for drivers and passengers getting in and out of parked cars, and be aware of the risk of car doors opening, just as drivers and passengers should be aware of any cyclists when opening car doors. When riding at night, cyclists must have a white light on the front and a red light and red reflector on the back. Cyclists are required to wear helmets on Victorian roads at all times. All bikes on the road must have a working bell.
Oh. Okay, so I didn't know that. Wow. Also, caught in the middle of drinking coffee live on the air. Dale, wow, you run a freestyle show, don't you? You must be asking. Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that they have to have a working bell. This next bit of audio is called the Cyclist v Motorist, but I also want to point out something.
Can I get a small car that doesn't compromise on safety?
No, you can't get a small car that compromises safety. That is not allowed! That is not allowed! Also, I didn't know that all bicycles in Victoria had to have a working bell. That seems like smart. This one is Cyclist versus Motorist. And if it has no audio, then it has no other audio. It's going to keep talking over a while. And it looks like... Whoa, what is this? Oh, okay. No, I wanna do this. What's this thing? This is in Perth, by the way. Oh God. Wow. Also, man, this guy has a knife. What the hell? That's terrifying. That is very terrifying. I'm scared. I'm very scared. Man. You know, it's a rough world we live in. You know, why can't everybody be nice to each other? I used to ride a cyclist. I used to ride a cycle. Alright, ad break. No. Ride a cyclist. You know, I don't intentionally say things like this. You do realize this, like that. I used to ride a bicycle. I used to ride a cyclist. I used to ride a bicycle, and I used to get all this stuff all the time, but man, when I used to ride a cyclist... What? Okay, I'm done. This almost is worth rage quitting the show for. Edgar Allan Poe also enjoys riding cyclists. It was extra painful when they removed the seat. No, oh, okay, that's stale. Too far. This is PG. Keep it PG. Oh, man. As we continue here on the Drake Live Show, up next we talk about riding bicyclists. No. The Fair Work Ombudsman, our government body who investigates people for doing the bad thing, is after Uber. Ba-da! What has Uber done this time? Uber can't seem to get a break, can they? They're in trouble for riding bicyclists. Yes. As we continue here on the Janae Club Show, thanks for joining us. It's Dale Campbell here with you, screwing everything up at 9:32. Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure to be here as per always. We're doing it for Geek.io, and man, I'm still wielding from the fact I said I'm gonna ride a bicyclist. I can't believe that. Man, just trying to hold things together here at the Generic Live Show. We're doing it for Geek.io. We're all on Twitch. We're all over the Twitches now. Remember that. Twitch.tv/Generic Live Show. Geek.io.net/live. We are all over the place. Thanks for joining us. Fair Work Ombudsman launched an investigation into Uber. And whether it's... Okay, I'm going to mute that. There's something coming from a window that I can't control. Our Fair Work Ombudsman has launched an investigation into Uber, whether it's contacts with tens of thousands of Australians in breach of federal workplace laws. Here is a fair... what seems to be a Fairfax interview reflecting this. If at all.
If their turnover is less than 75,000 Australian dollars. The one exception to that, of course, is if you're a taxi driver or limousine driver. You're required to register and pay GST from $1. And so the issue that arose once UberX commenced operations in Australia was whether UberX drivers were providing a taxi service and hence were required to register for GST and account for GST from $1 in the same way as the taxi drivers currently do. So of course, that was challenged by Uber.
Well, but as far as tax law is concerned, then, yes. How do you define it?
Well, there is no specific definition of a taxi service in the GST Act. It just refers to taxi travel. And so, of course, the federal court, in reaching this decision, has had to look at what is a taxi service and does it actually capture UberX ride-sharing type services.
And those UberX drivers say, yes, essentially they've been singled out differently from the tax treatment that affects truck drivers and messengers, for instance.
That's right. So I think the UberX would say that they're not taxi drivers. The principal difference between a taxi and an UberX, of course, is that UberX drivers are not permitted to stop at a rank or to accept passengers who might try to hail them on the street. Those are services that can only be provided by licensed taxis. So,
okay, hold the phone a minute. We'll get back to this audio because this audio is about 3 minutes long. I want to get back to this. I'm afraid that I'm afraid that that's not the defining characteristic here. I don't think that they might get to it in the clip, but I don't think Uber has challenged this. Now, I agree that every organization has to pay GST on what they earn and what purchases they make. I pay GST for all of my stuff. That's the thing. Some of the stuff that I do doesn't. Some products are exempt from GST. I'll say that. So I pay GST for the stuff that is eligible for GST. There are some stuff that isn't eligible for GST, and that gap is being bridged with the announcement this week that streaming services like Netflix, Amazon Prime in Australia has to have GST. I don't think that that's the issue here. I think the issue here is that the taxi industry is again wanting to find a way to have a chink in Uber's armor here and say, hey, you're invading our space here, and this is, you know, we want to try and welcome you, but hey, there's all these laws here, so have fun with that. And the problem I have with that is Uber drivers didn't know any of that before signing up to Uber, and I was talking to a lovely gentleman about this one other time. I use Uber. I also use the taxi service. It just depends on where I am and, you know, what the dealio is. And because, well, I live in a small town, small-ish town, quote-unquote small-ish town, where Uber, it might not be available all the time. So the taxi service is a primary service. As it's 24 hours, it's guaranteed, and you get a service, you know, that is that. But I was talking to a gentleman about this the other day, and we'll get back to the clip, so let me have my rant, and I'll be back. So, talking to a gentleman about this, where he got into Uber as a leisure activity, as a part-time job. He's retired, he, you know, has worked a career, and now wants to attend to his garden gnomes. Not kidding, but wants to attend to his garden gnomes and wants to do that as a primary way to spend his day. More power to him. And it wants to pick up Uber as an extra side jag to keep, you know, money flowing through, and he can do that to a certain threshold under the pension. My point is, why is it just the taxi drivers attacking Uber? I guess that's my ultimate question. And no one seems to answer my question. Whew, man, how long was that rant? I think that was quite an impressive rant I went on there. Yeah. Alright, so let's move
UberX
on.
Would say that they're not actually providing a taxi service for those reasons. However, the ATO has been assessing them as taxi drivers, and of course, the federal court this morning confirmed that that's the correct treatment.
Matthew.
Oh, okay. That's where I was going with that rant. Yes, considering them as taxi drivers, I wouldn't consider UberX the service as a taxi. I wouldn't consider them as taxi drivers, but they are providing a taxi service. Definitely, yes. The concept of picking up a passenger and delivering them. It sounds like they're a courier service. Picking them up and dropping them off where they live and filling out a little, if they can't find their way home, filling out a little card and slipping it in the mailbox without knocking before. That's definitely an Uber. Definitely Uber, guys. I promise. I swear. Uber's different here in Australia. It's fine. But I would have to agree there that they are a taxi service. So they are providing a taxi service. Whether they're a taxi or not, that's yet to be determined. But anyway, we'll move on.
This throws up the whole number of possibilities and inconsistencies, perhaps, in the law as far as the sharing economy is concerned. It's not just Uber drivers. Mm. For instance, we talk about with the rental of a house, and Airbnb is one of the parts of that sharing economy.
That's right.
What's the application there for the law?
So the issues that were decided in this particular case are specific to the taxi and ride-sharing industry. However, you're quite right that a lot of GST issues have arisen for the sharing economy more broadly, including in respect of accommodation sharing. The ATO has issued separate guidance in relation to that, and their view is that accommodation that's provided in homes is not subject to GST, but there's different GST considerations that arise.
Yeah, because it depends on the circumstances, doesn't it? Yep. Someone could essentially book their house out for months on end.
Yep.
In that case, would they still not be subject to GST?
That's right.
Or any sort of tax?
They certainly wouldn't be subject to GST. The argument being that effectively it's equivalent to residential rent, which is not subject to GST. But I think you're dead right that this type of case is emblematic of the problems that arise with disruptive technologies and business models. And we've seen the same thing in relation to Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and the GST treatment of those. So Scott Morrison last year announced that the GST Act would be amended to address those issues.
So is it fair to say the law is struggling to keep up?
I think it is. Yes, that's right. It's a real challenge for both our regulators and also our policy setters, and as well for business, of course, to try and keep abreast of all of these developments.
So that was an interview with a person, a tax specialist. That wasn't anyone representing the ATO. Just want to put that out there. That's what I was saying in that. Half incoherent rant is that some things aren't under GST, and I mean that blanket is broadening, and I didn't plan for this segment to be all about let's talk about GST. I was more kind of leaning towards let's talk about Uber, but hey, let's talk about the goods and services tax, shall we, and how that was proposed at the last election to be increased by several percentage points, which, by the way, side drag, why do people call it percentage points and not just X percent? There you go. But GST, goods and services tax, that blanket is expanding of what to categorize under GST. Okay, good example. I used to work for an organization that had... let's bang my computer. Is everything... Okay, everything's still on. Okay, good. So I knocked my computer pretty hard then. So I used to work for an organization that used to have a contract for a bread a bakery product organization. We were a bread product delivery service. It used to deliver bread and other assorted bakery products to stores for them to sell. And some of those products, even when they were still the same category of product, both in the category of, well, food, duh, Fred, and under the category of bakery goods, some of those products in those two umbrellas did not get charged goods and services tax. I've never understood why, and I probably never will. So GST is definitely one of those things that is very... it's very finicky and definitely needs some reform. It definitely doesn't need to be increased, but it does need to become more clearer, because I've never understood where the GST line is. It's at 10%. It's easy to calculate. There you go. You learned that in year 9 maths A, but anyway. So there you go. So, and there's also, by the way, other side, wow, so many side tangents on this segment of the show, because I'm on a roll today. So, side note as well, Uber recently had to bring in booking fees because the taxi industry didn't deem it fair that Uber did not have a flag fall system, even though they did. So they introduced this booking fee as a flag fall on top of their flag fall. So there you go. And it is interesting that Uber drivers are technically not allowed to stop at ranks and pick up anyone. I mean, that's a part of the Uber... it's part of the Uber model, though. That's half of the appeal of Uber. There you go. Man, hey! We have an article! We have a thing here. We have a show we're doing. It's called GLS, and we're all having fun. Okay, so Uber drivers have argued... their work arrangement with the company is not that that they are self-employed contract because Uber controls every aspect of the job, even the numbers of hours the company is not... Rephrase. They're saying that their arrangement with Uber is not like a self-employed contractor because it's a different category. Fair. Members of the group made a request, ride-sharing drivers united remained anonymous, and its spokesperson, quote-unquote, Max B, claimed it is a fear that Uber will cut off any outspoken members' access to the ride-hailing app. They'll block you. Uber's ability to block... The ability to block an Uber's access to the app and deny income opportunities without a right of reply is one of the key complaints the group has asked the ombudsman to probe. Uber drivers are scored between 1 and 5 stars for passengers and quality of service, and Uber with a low star rating risks of being deactivated, of course. Also at issue is Uber's repeated cuts to driver partner rates, which have endured drivers' hourly incomes. Okay, that's fair. So the cut's been in reduced fare rates by 15% in 2015 and then by a further 15% in April 2016. So, okay, they're making cuts, but they're not giving drivers more of a share. Driving for Uber was, until May of 2015, a good end. Rideshare United wrote in a correspondence to the ombudsman, up until then, Uber priced to be 30% cheaper than taxis. Uber claims to be 20 to 25% commission on every fare. These two drivers earned $5.86 and $4.73 respectively, dollars, after expenses, which is below the minimum wage of $6.95. Okay, this is not designed to be a primary job, though. I take issue with that part. This is not intended to be a full-time job. I mean, you could make it a full-time job. That's not the issue here. The issue here is, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is that it's not intended to be a full-time job, so therefore it can't be rated as one, if that makes sense. So it can't be, it technically cannot be under the road. Okay, so Uber drivers are rising up and did a petition to the Fair Work Ombudsman, and the Ombudsman said, pay GST. Wow. And I went on like 5 different rants and didn't get through half of the script. Hey, you know, GLS takes some weird turns sometimes, and I think this show is taking a weird and wonderful turn. Speaking of weird and wonderful turns, as we continue on the Genetic Live Show, it is GLS's most hated segment. I continue to do it. It's not hated, it's divisive. This is the Genetic Live Show's most divisive segment. This is the most divisive segment that we've done on this show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's hour one. As you know, what we do in hour one, we do the Trump Tracker. This is where we track the president and what he does in the week. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, we're doing it for Geek.io. It's Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining. Yes, we're on Twitch, we're on YouTube, on podcast. We're everywhere, man. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:51. To give you a big dose of genericness. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io, I was about to say we're doing it for Generic Live Show, but Dear Fred, that is obvious. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. Now it's time for everyone's favorite segment. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Trump Tracker. Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, Trump Tracker. It is day 164 of the Trump administration. Don't want to freak you out, but he has 1,296 days left in his term. We're tracking, us along with the Washington Post are tracking the progress of 60 pledges he made during his campaign and whether or not he achieves his goals. Indeed. Now, our favorite time of this is seeing what else on the Trump tracker has come true, which, yeah, he's launched a bunch of things and hasn't finished them, so that's also exciting, but what's also exciting is some of the stuff that he has yet to do. Make Mexico reimburse the United States for the full cost of the wall. Build the wall. I mean, that's also has to happen. Establish a 5-year mandatory mandatory minimum federal prison sentence for illegally re-entering for those with the felony convictions. Misdemeanor convictions or two or more prior deportations. Man, that is a lot to say in one sentence. But funny side note for Trump of this week was when he was accusing Amazon of not paying, quote, internet taxes, unquote, which apparently I found out that later, earlier this week, is not actually a thing in the United States. So, I mean, that's definitely not a thing. So it's interesting that he was trying to accuse someone of not doing something that he was doing. But I think Trump himself has been pretty quiet. At least from my knowledge, this Trump tracker has a couple of things on it that is interesting. 138,000 jobs has been created. 954 has happened since January of 2017. Since Trump has taken office, the economy has grown 1.2%. Believe it or not, so you know that is something you gotta do that into consideration. My favorite Trump thing on here is make 2 and 4 year college more affordable, and he has broken that. That's funny, you know. And also, oh by the way, before we take our hour break. One thing I did notice is that we could be talking about Obamacare soon, which is exciting for no one, because remember how last time it failed? There was going to be a vote last week, but didn't turn out to be a vote because 4th of July is apparently a thing, and that's not me saying it. Apparently it's a thing. I know it's a thing, but apparently that was the reason why the vote didn't happen. This is a very long sing-songy thing for me to do. Okay. So, that's a very long sing-songy thing for me to do. Let states manage Medicaid funds is also a funny thing. Trump has backed the House of Republican plan, which would convert Medicaid to a per capita block grant. Block being state? I'm confused. Anyway, there you go. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, for a Sunday, it's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geeko. We're heading into the second hour of the program. And Australia, remember last year, Australia had that census that kind of failed? Well, the results are in. And, well, they may or may not surprise you. Some of them are very underwhelming. Some of them might surprise you. You just never know. It depends on how much you like data, I suppose. And if you like it as much as me, then you'll definitely get a kick out of them. As we continue here on the Jack Live Show for a Sunday, thanks for joining us. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's 10 o'clock.